Who you are personally is like your power. We could all stand in front of the same location, but we would all shoot something differently. I would go see my cardiologist every 6 months at this point. He told me in July that I had 6 months to live, and by October 10th, I was sick enough to wait in the hospital for a heart. I waited officially on the list for 3 days, and then on October 18th, 2022, I was told that they had a heart for me. And I decided to start a magazine. You can still go through it. You can still, it doesn't need to take your entire life. I'm Allison Conklin. I am a photographer. I've been running Allison Conklin Photography for almost 30 years, and I'm the publisher of Bonus Days magazine.
And today we're in Dan's Camera City, which anyone who's involved in photography in the Lehigh Valley is very familiar with.
Oh my gosh, I have so many like nostalgic memories, starting from like my dad bringing me here to buy film for my darkroom and paper to print the pictures. And then me, like as a young mother with a double stroller, like rolling my insane, like 1 and 2 year old through here trying to turn in my film or make prints. And they've just been part of my story from the very beginning. So it had to be here. I am an only child and my parents were both scientists. My dad was a chemist. My mom was also a chemist. And they would turn any tiny little apartment bathroom into a darkroom. So growing up, I would have tons of pictures of myself that they would take. I would have tons of slideshows, you know, where we would sit in the living room and like look at all these pictures. And but there were tons of things I never saw. And so when my mom passed away when I was 14, my dad put me in charge of the memorial wall. So this is like 1994. This is previous to like the internet and like Facebook memories and any of that stuff. And he handed me this like big tattered box and had me kind of dig through and put together these pictures. And I had never seen so many of these beautiful images. They just showed me who my mom was. And I just fell in love with the power of photography. So I wouldn't let my dad go. And I would be like, can you teach me how to do this? And he gave me my mom's old Canon A1 and built me a darkroom. I started shooting all my friends' senior photos. I was involved in yearbook in high school. And I was invited to photograph a wedding at the age of 18. I'd never even been a guest at a wedding.
No problem.
I was like, yeah, no, I was terrified. I remember like shooting like everything on film. Basically, I paid them to be there. Like I, you know, the cost of how much it cost me. And that's how it sort of started. And then it just snowballed. And I remember like coming back from that wedding, like literally just stepping back into my like childhood bedroom and be like, I'm never doing this again. And here we are almost, you know, 3 decades later. I've been to like Germany and Italy and Hawaii and Mexico and Spain. I mean, just like basically all over the world, photographing events and stuff for families. I've also photographed for major magazines, national magazines. I've gotten to do ad campaigns and things that I'm really proud of. So when I was 13, I was super active. I was like really athletic. I was on basketball team. I was an all-star. I do always want to point that out. And I passed out in the middle of gym class. And my mom came and picked me up and took me to her cardiologist and they did a bunch of tests and they were like, hey, you have the same heart as your mom. And I didn't understand what that meant, but basically I had been diagnosed with a genetic disease of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Fast forward a few months later, we're standing, you know, I'm eating breakfast in the kitchen and my mom says she doesn't feel well and she collapses. I had taken a babysitting class that summer and learned CPR. I tried to bring my mom back. I begged her to come back, but we lost her. So I had to call 911. I had to call my dad. And so there was that trajectory of losing her at such a young age and to something that I had just been diagnosed. You know, that really changed who I was and changed how I saw the world. And within those moments, I grew up in a split second. Through my life after being diagnosed, I had tons of like ICDs, implantable defibrillators. I had lots of like surgeries. I had open heart in 2018 to try to correct some of these symptoms. Nothing was working. And we finally got to 2022 and it was a normal, like I would go see my cardiologist every 6 months at this point. And he was like, hey, you know, you have about 6 months to live unless you get a heart transplant. And I was like, no, like, because in your head, when you think of transplant, you think of like the movies. Right. I didn't know anybody that had a transplant of any organ, let alone a heart. And I was like, there's no way. This isn't what death feels like. But I think because the disease itself was moving so slowly, I just didn't realize how much I was suffering, like how hard it was to tie my shoe or make a bed or, you know, I couldn't go upstairs. But we had bought a ranch in preparation for that knowledge. So I didn't believe him. But I was like, all right, whatever. I'll go through all of the testing that you're telling me to. And basically, he told me in July that I had 6 months to live. And by October 10th, I was sick enough to wait in the hospital for a heart. I waited officially on the list for 3 days. And then on October 18th, 2022, I was told that they had a heart for me.
I mean, that whole experience, I mean, life-changing isn't the word, right?
Right.
That's your life.
It'll be 3 years next month.
You look fantastic. It's like, how has it been for you? Like, just, you know, it seemed, looking at you, very healthy and happy. And we saw each other, like, even earlier when you took my photos.
And watched them.
So how has it been for you post?
It's been amazing. I do want to say that the first year was really tough, right? I mean, like, it's definitely something when people, I think the misconception is people say, how long did it take you to recover from that? It's like, I'll be recovering for the rest of my life.
Right.
It's just something that I'm going to always have and always be working through. But I feel amazing. It's like, if you didn't know you need to wear glasses and then somebody gave you glasses and you're like, oh, this is how I should have been seeing my whole life.
And that's going to bring us into bonus days. First of all, tell us about the genesis of it a little bit.
You have to imagine then that first, like, I'm still in the hospital, right? Because I was in the hospital for, I don't know, 2 months post-transplant. And I'm feeling completely alone. You're isolated within this room. It was also kind of COVID, very much 2022, still very COVID. And I couldn't have visitors. And everyone was like, just, no one knew what to say. And so they were like, just join a Facebook group. And I did. And I was like, oh, okay, not for me. And
fair enough.
And I couldn't find anything. And everything that I was just searching for, like, am I going to have a life? I think that was my biggest thing. I was afraid of being told I needed it. I was like, what's my life going to look like? Like, because it felt like I didn't see people my age going through it. So I wanted to create something that showed people that, like, your life could still be beautiful regardless of the treatment plan or the diagnosis. Even though everyone was like, Prince dead. I was like, absolutely, it is not. And I decided to start a magazine. And it was just purely built on, like, kind of a selfish want for myself to be able to, like, meet all these people in this beautiful community, but then also tell these stories that are not toxic positive. Certainly not going to tell you it's all sunshine and rainbows, because it's not. But it's like, you can still go through it. You can still, doesn't need to take your entire life. Got stories from double lung and kidney and pancreas and liver. So all transplants and chronic illness. I have a story that we're telling in this next issue about somebody that wasn't able to eat until they received an intestinal transplant.
It's a pretty hefty magazine. It's very well done. There's so much in there. How do you do all that? You're doing this on your own. You can't be doing this.
It's a very small and mighty team. It's myself, my husband, my friend Shelby Stoneback, who is part of the Rodale family. So she's got all that magazine stuff behind. Yeah, she's amazing. And then our designer, Taylor Van Kooten. And it's basically us working on it. And it's the heavy lift, but I love it. And how we decide is, like, the first issue, I basically begged my friends that I knew, because I had nothing to show them. Right. Like, would you tell me your most important story? And, like, I promise it'll look good. And then by that point, people would read it and just start emailing me. So I have more stories to tell than I possibly could ever. Right now, it's being purchased in bulk by Yale, Penn, UT Southwestern, and NYU. And it's been sold to 46 different states within the United States, which I feel super proud of. I got to get Alaska.
Yeah, but it's so wild. It's like, if you told somebody, hey, I'm going to start a print magazine in 2023, I'm just going to go and do this success.
Right.
People would have said, absolutely not. Why is it working?
I think it's working for, well, the reason I wanted it to be print was because when you're stuck in the hospital, you're doom scrolling. And what are you doom scrolling? All of your friends' highlight reels. And you're stuck in this room, like, am I ever going to be able to leave this room? What is my life going to look like? Right? So I want to get people off the phone. I think it's also, it's working because it doesn't exist. There's so many health magazines, and they start from how to keep yourself healthy. But what if that's not your, like, I can't read an article about 30 ways to keep your heart healthy, because, like, that wasn't my story. And that doesn't mean my life is any less beautiful. You know, I don't think that you can judge anybody on how they're feeling or what's going on in their body by how they look on the outside. You know, you don't have to be 95 to have all these, like, health issues, right? We're telling stories from kids that are, you know, under the age of one all the way up to, like, 99 years old. And it humanizes what it means to, like, be chronically ill, what it means to take medications around the clock. Like, you can still have this incredible life. You're allowed to be so grateful for the organ, for, you know, still being here, but you can also have grief. Two things can be very true at the same time. And I think, you know, there's a big part of just knowing that will kind of free all that guilt from your mind I also think just knowing that, like, just existing is enough. Like, there's this whole beautiful article that Aline Gregosian wrote about just getting out of bed in the morning is enough. You don't need to, like, start a nonprofit. You don't need to start a magazine. You don't need to save the world. Like, just getting up and being there for your loved ones. And as far as caregiving, I mean, I think it's really important to connect with other people that have experienced the same thing. And then just truly just your presence alone in, you know, whoever you're caring for is just so important and so needed. There's a caregiving story written by a wife who had a husband who had a liver transplant, and Jeff was proofreading it. And it talks very much about PTSD. And he was like, wait, is this normal how I feel? And you're like, yeah, realizing that you're not by yourself in it is what's just so beautiful about it.
You received the 2025 Transplant Community Advocacy Award at the World Transplant Congress.
Yes.
What did that mean to you?
My gosh, I was so honored. It is quite an honor. And even though my name is on it, I feel like it's a win for the community because it's all of our stories. For me, it just like keeps pushing me forward with this crazy self-funded dream that I have. My husband's favorite thing to say is like, we were going to retire, but now we have a magazine. You know, but like, I feel like if we just keep going, I feel like it's making a difference.
Where do you see Bonus Days 5 years from now?
Right. I know that's such a good question. I really hope that in 5 years from now, Bonus Days is still out there, still telling beautiful stories, you know, and still being able to reach all 50 states and even more transplant centers, right? Because that's going to be able to what keeps it going. I never wanted the patients to have to purchase it. I always wanted the hospitals to buy it for us because we're expensive to keep alive. So I hope that it's that. And also I hope that I don't have to say it's self-funded.
I just wanted to mention that people should check out your work. It was recently done for the Pediatric Cancer Society of Valley.
So I was so honored to be asked to do that. They came to me and said, this is what we've done in the past. And I was like, great, I don't want to do that. I know from my own life, I use photography to tell stories that there aren't words for. You know, I picked up my camera when I was in the hospital by myself for days in and days out, showing people what it was like to have a heart transplant. And that involved a lot of things that maybe you wouldn't see in photographs. And I wanted to do that for this story because I felt like these are kids. These are families. You need to see it. You need to see them crying, getting their IV. You need to see them going to chemo and other doctors because of the side effects of all the medications and procedures they've been through. These families are families that prayed for and hoped for and have dreams for their kids. And I felt like the only way you could really connect and be part of it was to see all the hard parts and see the beautiful parts, right? So I did all those things. I went to chemo. But I also photographed a girl who hadn't been to school in 2 years, and she finally got to go back to school shopping. I find it really powerful. I truly hope that the community finds it powerful and wants to help, because I also found doing that project from April to August, all of the work that PCFLV does, and it's incredible. And we should be supporting charities like that.
And then to get in touch with you, how do people find more of your stuff?
Yeah, so you can follow me on my personal Instagram, which is Allison Conklin. If you want to buy the magazine, you can go to www.bonusdaysmag.com, or you can follow Bonus Days Mag on Instagram, or send me an email at allison@bonusdaysmag.com.
If you were to give advice to a budding photographer, what would it be?
Yeah, well, I think there's two things. One, always have your camera with you. Right? Always. And two, I mean, don't try to be like anybody else. Like, because I think you, who you are personally is like your power. And what you are going to see is not going to be what other people see. And we could all stand in front of the same location, but we would all shoot something differently. Because what we're attracted to, or, you know, how we want to tell the story is in, like, written into our code of who we are. So it doesn't matter what you got. I always carry around a little like point and shoot, essentially, with me. It's in my bag over there.
There's no shame in that.
No.
Yes. Thank you so much. This was, again, always a unique experience. This was great. I can't wait to see how this turns out. So thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Thanks so much to our sponsors, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Benko Beverage Company, Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bordelin, Howard Schaefer and Associates, Remax Real Estate, WDIY 88.1. Thank you for listening to the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. See you next time.